For a little while now, we've been trying to find the right time to talk with a listener of ours named Mark Giorgini. And now is that time. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. Mark divides his life between Minnesota and Guangdong, China. What kind of work do you do that keeps you essentially living in two places?
I do human resources consulting, and so I work with Chinese companies that are thinking about moving abroad or for foreign companies that are moving in and are wanting to learn how to do business better in China.
We didn't bring you here to talk just about your job, of course. You sent us some headlines and trends, some things that at least were off my radar when it comes to China. And first item that you sent us, we are in the middle of kind of a confluence of anniversaries in China right now, right?
Absolutely. 2009 is a big year over here in China. There are five major anniversaries. Of those five, four of them are anniversaries that challenged a government or power structure that was in place at the time that they happened. So with the Chinese sense of what is auspicious or something to be careful of, having all of that happen at one time is a freaky thing.
So we've been hearing about the anniversary of the Tibet uprising, and that's where the Dalai Lama was in the news in the last couple of weeks, but what other anniversaries are on the list?
Well, this is the 20th anniversary of the June 1989 Tiananmen incident, as it's called over here. Mm. It's the 10th anniversary of an incident with Falun Gong, where suddenly out of nowhere, Falun Gong folks surrounded the leadership compound in Beijing. It's the 90th anniversary of a very famous incident, the May 4th incident, which was a student-led uprising in 1919, where students really throughout the country protested the imperial government at the time.
And that's an uprising that the government in China maybe is more happy to talk about, right? Because it helped get them where they are.
That's certainly part of it, but at the same time, there's that aspect of students, which are always very key to forcing social change here. There's always that sense of what happens if they are not so happy about the existing government.
Speaking of challenging the government, let's get on to your next item. This is officially the year of the ox, but it has very quickly become the year of something very different, the grass mud horse.
Yes.
And before we get to the prurient details here, I think maybe just a quick note from you about how Chinese written and spoken language works, because that's important to this, right?
Chinese language is based on characters that don't have a phonetic sound such as we're used to in the West. But they also have something that's very similar to what we have in the West. They have homonyms, where one word might have two wildly different meanings, although it sounds and is pronounced the same.
Okay, so grass, mud, horse. Where does that come from, and what is the big cultural phenomenon over there right now?
China has a very sophisticated censorship system on the web, but the censorship is often computer-based, and the computer, when it looks at characters, understands the characters the way the characters are, not understanding the way the sound would be if they were spoken. This thing with the grass mud horse has kind of come up as kind of a way that the netizens here have kind of used to kind of tweak the censors.
Let's clarify. We're keeping people in suspense here. Grass mud horse is,
yes,
is a homonym in Chinese for, do you want to say it? I don't know if I want to say it. The MF word, essentially, or the Chinese equivalent of it.
Yes, it's the Chinese equivalent of the MF word, definitely.
And so people can throw this term around, grass mud horse, which is interpreted in Chinese as alpaca, but they've developed this entire fable around the grass mud horse, which basically allows them to say over and over and over again,
right,
in the context,
exactly,
of a children's story.
Yes, so a couple of these netizens have kind of come up with this interesting allegorical thing about the grass mud horse fighting against river crabs that are invading their desert homeland.
And let's quickly play a little clip of one video anyway that captures the story of the grass mud horse and the river crabs. And just a little warning, if you do speak Chinese, you may be hearing something that sounds off color. But it's not. It's just a story about an alpaca and some crabs. And And Mark, what's the significance of the bad guy in this story, the river crabs?
Yeah, the river crab is a key component because the characters in Chinese refer to harmony. One of the major efforts of the current government is to maintain what they call, quote, a harmonious society, close quote. So you have essentially the representative of the harmonious society or the government in this conflict with the alpaca.
What has the grass mud horse, the alpaca, become a symbol of now in China?
It's basically a symbol of tweaking the government and highlighting the fact that they're not as strong as they think they are.
How's it playing out with the authorities?
Well, actually, it's been seen on China Central Television. And you can go into stores here and actually buy a grass mud horse.
Like a little plush toy?
A little plush toy, yeah. I mean, it's kind of cute. And essentially what the authorities have done is tried to take the sting out of it by turning it into a merchandising event.
Another thing on your list here, something that I hadn't thought about until you brought it up. What is happening with all of the buildings that China built for the Olympics?
After the Olympics, things kind of slowed down a lot. What I've read is that there's about 100 million square feet of vacant office space.
Wow.
So it's a huge amount. If you look at some of the iconic buildings, they really had some major changes. The Bird's Nest Stadium, the one where you saw all the fireworks,
of
for
course.
Example, that's going to be changed over the next couple of years into a shopping mall.
What?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Well, like an open-air shopping mall or what?
I don't know. I haven't actually. We've not seen any diagrams of it. I expect that they'll probably keep the outer structure.
Is there just no need for what, by all accounts, is an awesome sports stadium?
That's actually correct. The major soccer team in Beijing thought that they could only fill a stadium of 10,000 seats, and the Bird's Nest accommodates 91,000. So they were too embarrassed, actually, to use the Bird's Nest for their own games.
But that plan to turn it into a mall, as with so many of the other designs for the former Olympic buildings, is what, kind of stuck at the moment?
You know, they're in transition. It's something they anticipate phasing in for that particular building over the next couple of years. Some of the other buildings are just, frankly, not in use anymore. The Water Cube, where Michael Phelps did his miracles, is now a light and music show in the evenings.
Oh, they're not turning it into a Michael Phelps museum and a bong shop?
No, and if they were to turn it into a memorial for anyone, it probably wouldn't be for an American athlete.
I would think so. Maybe to the grass mud horse.
Well, maybe.
The last note on your list is a Starbucks-related item, and I won't spill the beans here. I'll let you deliver it. What's up with Starbucks in China?
China is going to start exporting premium coffee to the United States for the Starbucks iconic American brand here. They've been working for a couple of years with farmers here in southern China, a place called Yunnan. They're going to start putting together a blend of some Latin American and Yunnan beans, and then they're going to work on developing a super premium coffee that will come exclusively from China. The name of the coffee is going to be really, really attractive. It's going to be called South of the Clouds Coffee.
It sounds much more logical than coffee coming from north of the clouds.
Right, exactly.
I suppose. Do you drink Chinese-grown coffee over there in China?
I just drink whatever coffee that gets served. I imagine some of it is Chinese coffee. Some of it's very good, and some of it's what I would say is Mama Huhu.
And Mama Huhu means what?
Means so-so.
So-so. Mama hoo-hoo. Okay, well, we'll end with a little Chinese language lesson for people.
Absolutely.
Mark Giorgini, this was a lot of fun. Thanks so much for staying up late there in China to talk with us.
My pleasure.
Mark Giorgini does human resources consulting both here in Minnesota and in Guangdong, China.